So who is the Holy Ghost? Who's the Holy Ghost? You know, there's a lot of mystery around the Holy Ghost. So we're in week three of our message series called The Creed, as we walk through the Apostles' Creed. Something that followers of Christ have said for the last 1800 years. Here's what I believe. As a follower of Jesus. Week one, I believe in God the Father. We can track with that. We look throughout God's Word and we see God and who He is. Week number two, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. We turn to the New Testament. We see Jesus teaching. We see Him walking. We kind of get an idea of who Jesus is. But week number three, I believe in the Holy Ghost. That one's a little bit harder. He kind of shows up in some places and not in other places. But I think there's a problem if we don't really have an understanding, if you are a follower of Jesus, of who the Holy Ghost is. If I had to say, as followers of Christ, we have a well-developed understanding of God the Father. We have a well-developed understanding of Jesus the Son. But we're a little bit fuzzy when it comes to the Holy Ghost. Because to be the people of God, we need the power of God in your life, right? To be the people of God, you need the power of God in your life. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to work a little bit with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I believe in the Holy Ghost. At least that's what the Apostles' Creed says. I believe in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's actually mentioned twice in the Apostles' Creed. The first time, it's actually about Jesus when it says that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. You say, well, how does that work? That's the question that Mary had in Luke chapter 1. And the angel Gabriel replied simply with, the Holy Ghost, right? Because the Holy Ghost makes the impossible possible. A little bit later in the Apostles' Creed, it just says it a little bit more directly. If you're a follower of Christ, you say, I believe in the Holy Ghost. But who is the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost is the third part of what we call the Trinity. Or God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three separate, distinct persons, all one nature, meaning they're all God. Which means this: who is the Holy Ghost? He's God. He's a person. He's not a force. He's not magic. He's a person. And he's personal. He wants to relate with you. And with me. If you're a follower of Jesus, I believe in the Holy Ghost. So I figure if we're going to go swimming today and with the Holy Ghost, we might as well just jump on into the deep end. Okay? So we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. There it says this. It says, when the day of Pentecost. So the day of Pentecost was actually a Jewish celebration that had been happening for thousands of years. It was the Jewish celebration of Shavuot. And it's when Jewish people from all over the world would come together and they would remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he received the Torah. So people from all over the world had gathered together on the day of Pentecost. in one place, it says. Suddenly a sound of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So you've got followers of Jesus in a house. The wind starts blowing inside. Tongues of fire separate, settle on them, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's kind of crazy. And it would be crazy if that was our introduction to the Holy Ghost. But you don't generally start in the middle of a book. And the Holy Ghost didn't show up in Acts chapter 2, because the Holy Ghost is God, which means he's always been. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, the first two chapters of the Bible, it says this. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God, Hebrew, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit. Here's what it means. It means breath or wind. It's always moving. Why? Because God's always up to something. But what is God up to? Well, to understand that, we need to understand something about this. You see, a lot of us think of this sometimes as an instruction manual. Oh, my marriage is struggling. What does God's Word say about marriage? Or I need some parenting advice. What does God's Word say about parenting? Or my finances are in trouble. And please hear me. This is God's instructions to us as followers of Christ. But first and foremost, the Bible is not an instruction manual. It's a story. It's a story of God and His people. And there's themes that run throughout this story from beginning to end. And one of those themes is the theme of temple. It's the theme of temple. And you go, like a building? Yeah, a temple. What is a temple? A temple is the visible presence of God in a community. A temple is the place that heaven and earth meet. A temple is where you go to interact with God. And yet, here's the thing about temple. Is that the temple theme in God's Word does not start with the temple. It starts at the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. You have God who's creating all things. And at the center of all things, He places the Garden of Eden. And it's there that God takes some dust and He breathes life into it. And it's Adam. And He creates Eve. And then He lives with Adam and Eve, and they go for walks in the evening. Why? Because our God is a God who wants to dwell with His people. But there was a problem. The problem was sin. And so Adam and Eve were not allowed to go back into the temple or into the garden where they could dwell with God. So in Exodus, you have God instruct His people to construct a tabernacle, which is like a fancy word for a tent. And whenever the Israelites were to set up camp in the middle, they had to set up the tabernacle. Why? Because it's the visible presence of God among His community. It's the place that heaven and earth meet. It's the place that you went to interact with God. Why? Because our God is a God who wants to dwell with his people. Solomon, David's son, comes along and he's been watching HGTV apparently. And he goes, hey, I'm going to give the tabernacle an upgrade. So he builds a permanent temple. And they knew that God was bigger than the temple, but it was the visible presence of God in the community. It's the place that heaven and earth met. It's the place that the priest would go in to interact with God. It's where God's Spirit resided in the Holy of Holies. Why? Because God wants to dwell with his people. And then you come to Jesus as you're reading the Bible, and you go, Jesus, I thought we were talking about a temple. Jesus is the clearest picture of temple in the Bible. Because what does the Apostles' Creed say? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He's fully God. He's fully person. He is the place where heaven and earth meet. He's the visible presence of God among his community. John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt, or tabernacled is the literal word, among his people. Why? Because God wants to dwell among his people. But then Jesus was crucified, and he was buried, and he was resurrected, and he ascended to be with the Father. So what happens to the temple? The Apostle Paul says this. He says, those of you who are followers of Christ, this is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know, follower of Christ? Do you not know that you are God's temple? You are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells within you. Who is the temple of God in the New Testament? It's you and it's me. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You are the visible presence of God in your community. You're the place that heaven and earth meet. You are the temple of God. But it doesn't end there. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters of God's Word, John is describing New Jerusalem. And he describes it in the shape of a cube. Why? Because the Holy of Holies in the temple is a cube. It's the place where God's presence dwells. And there's a tree of life, and there's a river running through it. Going back to Genesis chapter 2, the Garden of Eden. God's plan all along. And yet there's one thing that's noticeably absent from Revelation 21 and 22. There's no temple, because there doesn't need to be one anymore. Because what God has wanted all along has come to fruition. God is fully present with his people. You are God's temple. You are God's temple. The Holy Ghost dwells within you. That's crazy. That if you're a follower of Christ, God is not just with you, he's in you. Meaning that wherever you go, God is there. Because he's present everywhere. But also because he's in you and he goes with you. And that when you walk into the room, the visible presence of God walks into the room. When you walk into the room, the place where heaven and earth meet, they walk into the room. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is dwelling within you. That's crazy. that God's in me. And what we believe about God shapes everything about us. What if we actually believed everywhere we went that the Holy Ghost was within us? Which means this. It means wherever you face, whatever you face, you're not facing it alone. Why? Because the Holy Ghost dwelling within you. Because you are God's temple. What it means is this. When you walk onto the oncology floor in the hospital for the fight of your life, you're not fighting alone. Why? Because the power and the presence of God are in you and they're with you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost dwelling with you. If you're a single parent, what it means is this. You may be a single parent, but you're not parenting alone because the power and the presence of God are in you because you are God's temple. The Holy Ghost lives within you. That's crazy. And it's comforting because where can I go from God's presence? There is nowhere. What can I face? What can that I face alone? There's nothing. It's crazy comforting, and it's a little bit terrifying that God lives in me because I know God, and He is whole, and He is complete, and He is loving, and He is good, and He is perfect, and I know me, and I am not. The Bible says that I'm God's temple. Maybe that's what God sees, but when I look in the mirror, that's not what I see. A broken down house, maybe. Because what do we see? We see that we blow up in frustration on the very people who are closest to us, causing harm to the people that we love the most. What you see is that, yeah, you're playing the role of the perfect adult parent on the outside who is caring for their aging parents as well. But you're full of resentment and anger and bitterness. The Bible says that we're the temple of God, but we don't always feel that. There's this interesting thing about the Holy Ghost, right? Breath, wind, He's always moving. He's always active. Everywhere you see Him in the Bible, He's starting, He's initiating, He's pushing, He's calling, He's drawing. So why would we think that if the Holy Ghost dwells within us, we would be any different? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is always moving. And the Holy Ghost dwells within me. But the Holy Ghost is still working in me. Ephesians 2 says it this way. You are God's temple, but He is building you brick by brick with the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Because He's not done with you yet. How does Jesus and God do that through the Holy Ghost in our lives? John chapter 14, this is what Jesus says to His followers. He says this, He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another what? Another advocate. Maybe your Bible version says another counselor, another comforter, another helper. Which one is it? Well, the Greek, paraclete, we don't have a one-for-one for that. It's all of those things. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. For the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him. Why? For He lives with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Why? Because God wants to dwell with His people. And so the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. but he's moving in you and he's shaping you to be more like Jesus every single day. How does he do that? I have here a list of some of the roles of the Holy Ghost. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. There's more than just this, but these are some of the ways. If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Ghost works in your life, creating you to be like Jesus every single day. The Holy Ghost comforts us. Well, how's that? Well, John chapter 14 says that that's the presence of God that brings peace, even in the midst of chaos in your circumstance. The Holy Ghost comforts us. The Holy Ghost encourages us. Romans chapter 15, he fills you with joy, peace, and hope. He encourages you. He intercedes for you. The Holy Ghost prays for us even when we don't know how to pray for ourselves. He intercedes for us. He convicts us. John chapter 16, he convicts us of sin, justice, and righteousness. Why? So that we may look more like Jesus. He tells us what we need to change. He teaches us. John chapter 14, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would teach and guide you to the things that Jesus had taught us. What does the Holy Ghost do? He guides us. If you're a follower of Jesus, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, that if you're a follower of Jesus and the Holy Ghost is in you, you walk by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. And if you're only going to remember one thing about the Holy Ghost, of what he does in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 reminds us that he empowers us, that you'll receive power when you receive the Holy Ghost. Because to be the people of God, you need the power of God in your life. And the Holy Ghost is the power and presence of God dwelling in you and working on you, which sounds great. But what does that look like? And why can't I hear him? And why can't I feel him? Because you're saying, I've been a follower of Christ for a week or for 30 years, and I don't really feel the Holy Ghost guiding me or comforting me. I don't hear him when I pray for him. How many of us are racing through life, tearing everything up? I can't hear from God. God, where are you? When's the last time you stopped to listen? If you want to hear from God, you have to create space in your life to hear from God. If you want to feel the Holy Ghost's presence, you have to create space in your life to feel the Holy Ghost's presence. The Holy Ghost's in me. If I believe that the Holy Ghost, that God is in me, is it weird to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to change to look more like Jesus? Is that weird? I don't think it's that weird, but it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable every day as a grown man to turn my hands over and say, God, I submit myself to you today. God, what doesn't look like Jesus? Change that in me. God, what do you want me to do? You can be comfortable or you can grow. You can't be both. So are you going to create space for God to continue to work on you? Why? Because the Holy Ghost dwells in you. The Holy Ghost is working in you. And the Holy Ghost wants to move through you. John chapter 20, 32 or 36 hours after Jesus has been resurrected, his followers, some of his disciples, are gathered together. And this is what it says happened. It says, John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. No shade on them. Their Messiah, their rabbi, the person that they had followed for the last 3 years, had been crucified. And maybe they were next. So they've gathered together. They've locked the doors for fear of the Jews, the Jewish leaders. And Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Like, really, Jesus? The world's gone crazy. But apparently the peace of God has more to do with the presence of God than the absence of chaos in our circumstances. He says, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed the disciples his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Apparently, it can be calm in the boat even when the storm's raging outside. And then this is the one thing he says to his disciples. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because to do the work of God, you're going to need the power of God in your life. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost dwells within you. He's working in you, and he wants to move through you. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we could lock ourselves into a room and say, "I don't know if you notice, God, but the world's gone a little bit crazy out there." Or we can be reminded that we are the temple of God, the visible presence of God in the community. And we can take Jesus' command to get out there in it. Because when you go to work tomorrow, or you go to school, or you walk into your home that's full of chaos, you don't just go there. If you're a follower of Christ, you are sent there by God. Because the Holy Ghost, he doesn't need your permission, but he does ask for your participation. He is God. He will do what he wants to do. I just have to decide, do I want to be a part of it? So what does that look like? Maybe it looks like this. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Holy Ghost dwells within me. I believe that the Holy Ghost is working in me. I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to move through me. So God, what do you want me to do today?